Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you've joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issues of the day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about a kind of a mixture of major headline news and how we need to respond to it as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. We're talking about the financial collapse, federal corruption, and the future chaos. And that future chaos, ladies and gentlemen, is what we do in the local as well as the state and national elections. We're watching now chaos and confusion in relationship to the election process. We were talking just before the news with Derby on the line. He was talking about the need for some type of election reform that we can have the proper elections. Derby, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. When you talk about election reform and needs to be a standard across the nation, I believe that standard needs to be void of the use, that is, not using Dominion software equipment, Dominion programming or hardware, because we find that although there's chaos and confusion in the marketplace about it, I believe we have stolen elections as a result of it. There's some of the states that have ceased and desisted on using that. Derby, what do you think about going back to regular paper ballots with hand counting? I can recall just a few years ago that paper ballots, hand counting, the election, the polls in the election would close at 7 o'clock or thereabouts across the nation. By 11, 12, 1 o'clock, we'd have the results and all hand counting. Why can't we go back to that? What are your thoughts? What's your take on that suggestion?
Sure. But first, one word about the Federal Reserve. It is, I don't know a lot about finances, but I do know the Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a private institution that prints money out of thin air, and that's illegal.
And it's illegal. It's unconstitutional. And Ron Paul, which is Rand Paul's dad, Ron Paul, former senator, Ron Paul for 30 years had been saying, had been saying that the Federal Reserve needs to be audited, but the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party refuses to have the Federal Reserve audited. It is a private corporation. And some Republicans. It's a private corporate entity, but they control the finances, the money product in the United States of America, and yet they are not controlled by the House, the Senate, the Congress in general. They are basically, in fact, somebody said very recently that, Jay Powell, that heads it up, that they'd like to see his financials. Where is he making his money? How much does he get out of each time he kicks the interest rate up? What is his profitability, et cetera, et cetera? You know, the old cliche, follow the money. You know, the biblical concept that said the love of money is the root of all evil. So someone said, if you want to know what's happening with something, follow the money trail. And that's my opinion also.
Okay. Then going back to election reform, who should vote? In the Constitution, Articles 15, 19, and 24 say you cannot be denied the right to vote on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude, or sex, or failure to pay any poll tax or other tax. But nowhere does it say that you cannot be denied the right to vote for being ignorant or stupid. So my point would be that before you vote, you need to take a test and pass it, a test in English only, a test on civics, government, history, before being allowed to vote. We now, do not
I
want...
I must agree with you, although you and I both know that that would not happen, but I must agree with you because we have...
But it's constitutional.
Because we have so many coming into America...
We can do it.
Yes, we have so many coming into America that are ignorant of the capitalistic system. They're ignorant of the constitutional republic system. They're interested only in what's going to be given to them, so they're going to vote based on who's going to put the most dollars in their pockets. When these illegals are coming in, and I just recently read an article that we have somewhere between 6 and 7 million in the past 3 years have come into America that's illegals. They're looking for, voting for, those that are going to continue to give them a quick passage to citizenship and to continue to get. I didn't realize until recently that everyone that's coming in, they're putting a cell phone in their hands. They're not required to wear a mask. They're not required to get a COVID jab, as Americans had been required for 3 years. And they're putting $800 cash in their hands, giving them what's equivalent to an EBT card, where it's an unlimited amount. They have free education, free medical care, and just floating in America. I think it's time that we wake up, stand up, and understand that we have already lost the sovereignty of our nation. And the one that is in charge of that, it should be charged with treason, removed from office, and put behind bars. And his name's Joe Biden.
And in addition, expanding on the issue of that test to be given to voters before voting, the same test should be given to anyone running for office. We have ignorant people like AOC and Corinne Brown who get elected to Congress, and they're so ignorant and stupid at the same time.
I call it being dumb as a rock, but anyway, go ahead.
And more on the how elections are appealed or corrected, disputed. Going to court isn't going to work because Trump tried it. He was gone against at every level. Kerry Lake, the same thing is happening to her.
Well, going back to Trump,
another way of resolving
disputes. Going back to Trump with his election, there were about 62 cases, and the judges across America refused to even allow standing in the courtroom for the evidence to be heard. And yet, to listen to the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, they say the 60-some-odd cases were that Trump lost in court. No, he didn't lose in court. They were never heard. The cases were never, debated in the courtroom.
Yeah,
and
I like
the same thing
about
you said, Kerry Lake was the same thing.
In Georgia, Walker lost and Warnock was declared the victor. But I do not believe that if in Georgia, the Georgia voters elected a white male Republican governor against a black female Democrat candidate by a healthy margin, and then they vote against a very popular national hero, sports figure, Herschel Walker, against a crooked, unknown Democrat. It should have been the same voting for both.
Warlock is a communist, a communist sympathizer, and is not even what you'd call a true American from the standpoint of his knowledge of the Constitution. It goes back to your thought about ignorance and stupidity, and yet we have people that were put in office like that. Derby, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I just thank you for the good, solid Christian candidates that you endorse. They will lead America to a position of greatness, but I really look at things, and I wonder if that's a true statement, because Dr. Youngblood, till we're all on the same page about Christ, nothing but chaos. My ophthalmologist is a Hindu. He's a brilliant man. He did eye surgery on me, and it turned out wonderful. But to think that his religion is they believe a cow is reincarnation. Do you get my drift that till Christ is the head, this is not going to go well. It's going to be chaos, and it's going to take only Christ to make sense out of this mess.
You're exactly right. In fact, the scripture says, Tom, the scripture says it very, very clear. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns, there'll be no peace on earth. And what we're finding is the lack of biblical literacy that causes us to be in the position we're in today. Even with those that say that they're saved, they're generally speaking ignorant of what the Word of God says. I believe it's time that we get back to the Bible, get back to God, get back to prayer and concentration on what God says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 reminds us. So you're exactly right. We need to turn back to God. And to summarize that, I believe what we're seeing with the bank failures, what we're seeing with the crop failures, what we're seeing with the floods, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and with the financial collapse now on the market before us, on the horizon before us, is God's attempt to get Americans' attention and to try to get the nation and the globe's attention to turn back to God. I believe it's God's progressive, increasing, progressive judgment on a nation and on a world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. You're exactly right. We've got to turn back to God.
Dr. Youngblood, do you think I have a retirement? It's in stocks and bonds. And I'm at a point now to where I've pretty well considered that money gone. And my real wealth is packs of seeds that I could grow on my property. Would you think that's a fair assessment of real value today?
It's strange that you say that, Tom. I say strange. It's unusual because I believe that we need to prepare, and as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, preparation means, and I'm not a prepper, as they were called just a few years ago, but I believe that we need to see from a biblical perspective, if we know famine is on the horizon, if we know collapse is on the horizon, we need to be prepared for that. So we need to prepare, we need to plan, we need to pray, and we need not to panic. And yes, because it's coming to a day, in my most humble opinion, if you've got vegetables and I've got a slice of bacon and we can swap some bacon for some vegetables, or if you have a physician, the physician needs some pork and the pork grower needs cyst on his arm removed, then there can be the barter system. And I believe it's going to get back to a barter system in the days ahead of us before the rapture of the church. I really believe that, and I'm not a scaremonger. But I'm a realist, and I see the handwriting on the wall as to where we're headed and what's taking place. So you're exactly right. Those seed, by the way, need not to be the GMO seed, because the GMO seed, you can grow a crop 1 year, but you can't reproduce them after that. You need to have some real seed that can be reproduced and reproduced and reproduced. But, Tom, you're exactly right. And the whole thing is we need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth near. Brother Tom, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Rowe.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your input.
God bless you.
I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Doing well. I hope you are.
Doing good. I have a small disagreement as far as voting with you two gentlemen there. I don't believe that the federal government should have any say in states' rights there. I do believe that all the states, however, should have stricter voting laws. In other words, a positive ID. I believe that if you give the federal government charge over the states and how they vote, if you get a party in that is in majority, they will at that point change those voting laws to favor them in perpetuity. I don't like that idea at all, because I'm watching everything that the Democrats are doing now, and they're only doing it for their own self-propagation and power, and it has nothing to do with the individual rights of you and I as Americans, especially Christian Americans. If you believe in Jesus Christ and He is the Lord and Savior of the entire world and universe, there, you're on their wrong side. They don't want to hear it.
I believe you're about right, Jim. Derby, what's your take on that?
Well, I would agree with Jim, but how do you make the states to have a fraud-proof system? I don't care what system it is, as long as it is fraud-proof. And if the only thing that I demand of the federal government is for it to be fraud-proof, nothing can go wrong. It's got to be an open, honest, transparent election at the local, state, and national level.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Derby, and you're recalled.
It's fraud-proof, period. Not a single vote could be illegal.
Derby, you're right. You recall with the Karl Marx, with Marxism, he made the bold, broad, powerful statement that it doesn't make any difference who votes. It's who counts the votes that makes the difference. And so the bottom line is the counting of the votes. Jim, how do you respond to that?
Well, I would agree with the premise there that one man or woman and equals one vote. And I do believe that fraud should be eliminated from it. However, the will of the states, according to the Constitution, should take precedence. How you get these states to actually implement that is the question there. I think that Ron DeSantis did a pretty good job with some of the laws they came across here, but I still disagree with the whole, you know, you should have a rock solid, like if I want to vote in absentia, I should have an excuse for it. I'm in the hospital, I can prove it. I'm in the military, I'm out of the country, I'm on vacation, or whatever. That should be the only place where you have absentia voting. I believe that voting should be done in person. And I don't have anything against the purple thumb, nothing at all. You know, they should probably
that identifies that you voted, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. I
that's better than the little sticker. That's better than the little sticker on your lapel.
Yeah. I could go out and buy those things all day long. You know,
that's right.
But I think they should change the day. I understand that they had voting on Tuesday because you would start traveling on Saturday. Of course, Sunday you would stop because that was the day of God and worship. And then Tuesday you would continue to travel. And then by Monday you would continue to travel. And Tuesday you voted at your county seat. And then it was a week-long event. But that was before the advent of modern transportation. It should be a Saturday. This is the first Saturday in November. You know, and they open it up as soon as the sun comes up. And as soon as the sun goes down, that's it. Close it. Count them. Done. No more boxes in the back of a car. Oh, we found these. No, The chain of custody should be secured.
Yes.
That is where a lot of the fraud occurs, is in chain of custody. Electronics, I don't have an issue with electronics, but make the voting source code open source to where the community can view it, and then do not allow those machines to be online and have monitoring facilities, independent monitors, at each polling station there that actually have the rule of law within their purview to monitor these elections without being interfered
with. Jim, I would agree with that with the electronics, as long as the electronic systems are not manufactured or produced or the software for that in China, because that gives a back door on every occasion for the Chinese Communist Party and or any other, I would just say, enemy of America to get into our system, moderate and change it. That's exactly what put sleepy Joe Biden, cognitively depleted Joe Biden, in the Oval Office today. So I'm in agreement with that. And so, Jim, thank you so much for your input, dialogue, and discussion on that. Derby, how do you respond to what he said? Then we're going to take our next caller.
Well, I keep going back to fraud proof. I don't care how you do it. Just make it so that I can trust the results. Take Georgia again. Warnock was elected when Herschel was the winner, but they cheated. And here we have Georgia went for Biden instead of Trump. And that was illegal. That was steal. So fraud proof, I don't care how you do it or how many days. But again, computers, they can be hacked. Period. So no computers, period.
Yeah, I agree with that. Hold your thoughts, sir, Derby. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question, comment, please. We're talking about a variety of things today. The financial collapse, the federal corruption, and the future chaos. Future chaos dealing with what we're doing in the election process. Go over the question, the comment, please.
Well, as you speak about elections, obviously it's been said for many, many years, we have three protections for our freedom, three boxes that provide protection, the ballot box, the jury box, and the ammo box. And I believe the left is doing their dead level best to push us toward the ammo box, a violent recourse. And they keep talking about it. They talk about violent extremism on the right. I've not seen any violent extremism on the right. There may be a very, very modest, small amount out there. I've not really seen it. You know, you had a handful on January 6th that did stupid things and broke things. Nobody killed anybody. The only person that killed somebody was a Capitol Police officer that killed a white retired Air Force officer, a female at that, Ashley Babbitt. And I feel for that loss. But do not let them push you to the ammo box option. Now, again, they want that because with that, they clamp down with authoritarianism overnight. They roll the National Guard, and all of a sudden, you'll have even conservatives saying, well, yeah, we're going to have to confiscate weapons. So do not let them prematurely push you in that direction. We need to restore the ballot box and restore the jury box to constitutional governance. And what you're talking about, whether it's dipping your thumb in that, you know, purple ink, blue ink, whatever, to prove that I voted, and not only did I vote, but you can't vote again because you've already dipped your finger in that indelible ink. That makes a lot of sense. What's going on with the banking system, whether it's ESG or the purchase of long-term bonds and notes, treasury bonds and notes, which is ridiculous for a bank to do that, to lock in a return at 1.5% or 2% when the inflation is pushing us into the mid-teens in reality, 6% to 10% in declared inflation. And that is all created by a Federal Reserve that has manipulated the currency. They've printed the deal with the Treasury is basically we'll buy the debt, y'all print the currency, and we'll keep this thing going forever. There's $31 trillion in online debt, over $181 trillion in offline debt, unfunded liabilities, and over $19.3 trillion on deposit in banks that now the FDIC, I guess they've said, we can insure all of it. 90% of the accounts at Silicon Valley Bank, 90%, were in excess of $250,000. I beg this question today, how much money does the FDIC have on reserve? I guarantee you it's not $19.3 trillion, and that's where the balance were. $19.34, $19.38 a month ago is what the balances were on deposit in the United States today. They cannot backfill it. I want to know, what's his name, the Federal Reserve Chairman. I want to know where his money is today. Because this man is calling the shots. He is the most powerful man in the world economically today, and this man is calling the shots. He's the one that will either drive us completely off a cliff. Now, keep in mind, if he drives us off a cliff, they're the ones that created the cliff. There was no cliff there until they decided to print money and print money and print money and keep printing money and expand the fractional reserve status that we've had ever since we left the gold standard. It's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And you have Paul Krugman types out there that say no level of debt is bad unless it's unserviceable debt. Now, by keeping the interest rates at almost zero, they consider that serviceable debt because it's free money. They pay it back with inflated money in decades to follow. But we've gotten to the place where every single real taxpayer in America owes $250,000 today, $247,000 per taxpayer. Just to pay the $31 trillion in debt, not the $181 trillion in unfunded liabilities. This train wreck has been coming for 40 years. It has just been accelerated by the likes of Joe Biden and the leftists in Congress. It's just been accelerated. And all of this will lead to an economic collapse that will go not just nationwide, but worldwide. And that economic collapse, I believe, will usher in, it will be the catalyst for the Antichrist to come on the scene, as did the Führer, Adolf Hitler. And as he said, the Antichrist will say, I will fix it for you. I will fix it for you. And that should not petrify the believer. That should encourage the believer, because as we see that day drawing closer, we know the Lord's return is right upon us. We ought to be encouraged, but we ought to have a fire lit underneath us that has us out witnessing and sharing, because the days are short. The fields are white under the harvest, and the laborers are few. And that's about all the time I have for today, but thank you for letting me get my 2 cents worth in.
That's great, Greg. Thank you so much for joining us in that part of the discussion. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day. Debbie, we've got a couple of minutes left. I want to do this very quickly. We've got a mayoral candidacy coming up for election. Tell us, who is your choice for the mayor and why?
Well, of course it is Al Ferraro. And I support him because I know him personally. I also know Mike Gay personally. And I try to get to know all of the candidates personally. I ask him questions. And if I cannot, I will simply trust the advice of Al Ferraro and Mike Gay, whom they support. They have friends and they have enemies. So I just go along with Mike and Al concerning voting.
Derby, I'm looking at an article that says, where do Jacksonville's mayoral candidates stand on key issues? Only one will say. And this was a survey that was done, but it was done by the Florida Standard. And I don't know anything about those folks, but out of the Daniel Davis, Leanne Cumber, and Al Ferraro, only Al Ferraro answered all of their questions fully without any fear of contradiction in relationship to it. And I find it interesting when they ask the question, if elected mayor, would you advocate to defund Jasmine? That's the sodomite club in on West Jacksonville. On December the 22nd, Duval County Schools cut ties with Jasmine after the Florida Standard reported that the group used sexually explicit and games to promote the at the events at the teenagers. Daniel Davis, no answer. Leanne Cumber, no answer. Al Ferraro says, when Jasmine was first brought to the council, I was prompted to use an agency that rehome that was supposed to be an agency to rehome troubled youth. To this day, they still remain that say that's their primary purpose. But what they're doing, he says, is they're sexualizing our kids from the streets. Another question, if elected mayor, would you sign a bill that will remove sexual orientation and gender identity from the city's human rights ordinance? Davis, no response. Cumber, no response. Al Ferraro says, yes, I voted against the HRO amendment 11 times on the city council, and I would continue to stand against it as mayor. And he goes on with the questions and answers, and Al Ferraro is the only one that gave candid, clear, concise answers to all of their questions. So I stand with you, Derby. I am praying that Al Ferraro will be the next mayor for the city of Jacksonville. I believe he's a man of integrity. He's not a rhino. I believe he's a man of faith. I believe that he will do a superb job for our city. We got about 40 seconds. Derby, what do you say in wrap up?
And both Davis and Cumber have unlimited funds, millions of dollars, so they are able to cheat and lie and buy votes and everything. Ferraro does not, so he's the honest candidate. But this is my plea to all the Ferraro supporters. It is not enough to vote for Al. You have to get on the phone and call your friends and relatives and ask them. They better vote for Al, or we're going to have a really bad city in Jacksonville for many years to come.
Yes. Derby, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the air today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder.